Good morning. There are six different readings for us today, but I promise they're short. So starting with Proverbs 17, which is on page 652. I believe they're going to come up on the screen as well, but I'll let you find that and then we'll kick off. So Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 18, 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 25, 20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Proverbs 27, 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the hearts, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And then finally, Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Thank you very much. If you're a guest here, that's not part of our normal repertoire, just to be clear. I don't think it's going to make our songbook going forward, but it's nice to begin that way. Thank you, Ben, for leading us in these couple of services. Sure, many of you, even as the tune started, recognise that tune and then those lyrics from Toy Story. The film's all about Woody the cowboy and Buzz the space ranger. To infinity and beyond, all of that, you know, Rex, Slinky Dog, Bo Peep, and all the different rest. Apparently, Toy Story 5 is coming in a couple of years' time, for those of you who are fans. Joel's very excited about that, I can see. 2026, that's coming. Friendship is really at the heart of the Toy Story films, but not just Toy Story, but many other different films and TV shows as well. In 2018, Friends, the show Friends, was the most streamed show on Netflix in the UK, even though it was years and years since a new episode had been filmed. David Schwimmer, who played Ross on Friends, said, "It's a fantasy for a lot of people, having a group of friends who become like family." We instinctively value friendship and we fear loneliness, the absence of that friendship. Joss Whedon co-wrote Toy Story back in 2005, and he more recently directed The Avengers, and he said loneliness is about the scariest thing out there. Anne Hathaway, the actress, said, "The thing that I'm most worried about is just being alone without anybody to care for or somebody who will care for me." And even Albert Einstein said, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely." We want connection with others. Like, we need that. The Bible tells us right back at the beginning that God created the world and he created everything in it, and everything was good, everything was very good. But there was one thing not good. It was not good for man to be alone. Adam, the first man who was created, had everything he needed. He had a perfect relationship with God, but he also needed other people. One writer, a guy called Sam Coleman, has said that God could have created us to need only him. That's how he could have designed us. But instead, he created us to need so much else. We need food and air and water. We need sleep and shelter and meaningful work. And maybe, most of all, we need each other. We need love and touch and laughter. We need to belong and to be held. We need deep conversations and smiles from others when we walk in a room. God created us to need human relationships. And I imagine that all of us in the room recognise that, at least to some degree. We know we need friends. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at some of the Proverbs in the Bible. The Bible is God speaking to us about himself and about us and about life in this world. If you're not familiar with the book of Proverbs, it's kind of much as you'd imagine, really. Much like English Proverbs, it's a series of sort of pithy sayings designed to make you think. So let's see what God has to tell us and to make us think about the subject of friendship. First thing I want to say is this: friendship is about loyalty. Friendship's about loyalty. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Somebody has said, family will show up because they are family, even if they don't like you. A friend loves at all times because they like you. Good friends stick by you. The people you count as your friends are people that you feel you can depend on and you can turn to and trust in. They love at all times. They love at inconvenient times and they love at challenging times. They are our closest friends. Those we trust most of all are reliable when they are present. And they don't only turn up because it's sort of expected of them. No, they turn up because they're glad to do so. And so they can end up being closer than family. They stick closer than a brother, as the text says. And perhaps that's because they understand us often better than our family, but also because they've chosen to be our friend. They say, don't they, that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Friendship requires a choice. It's a decision involved in that. You're not compelled to be friends with anyone in particular. You might have people that you interact with a lot in your workplace or maybe as you study with them or even in a social setting, but you can't force that friendship to happen. We choose to be friends with someone. Now, that sort of loyalty is not the same as marriage loyalty. So Vaughan Roberts, a speaker, has said this in his book, True Friendship. Friendship should not seek to copy marriage by either demanding exclusive commitment or containing sexual expression. Friendship is not trying to replicate the exclusivity or the intimacy of a marriage relationship. It's not designed for that. We have one marriage partner, but we have multiple friends, and that's a good thing. But the loyalty we're talking about then is being there for friends when they need us, when times are tough, when things are difficult for us. Now, I kind of imagine that all of us would want friends like that. I kind of imagine all of you are saying, no, I'm settled with my disloyal, unreliable friends, thank you very much. I think we kind of know we want friends like that, but the question kind of immediately turns to, are we friends like that to other people? Is that what our friendship looks like? When help is needed, are we there? Are we the kind of person that somebody would call on? Are we reliable or are we unreliable? I'm not saying can we meet every need that our friends have, not at all, but are we ready to help out friends when they're in need? Are we the kind of person who would be called on to see if we're able to babysit at short notice? Would you be the kind of person who was called up to help? Would you be willing to give a lift to someone when their car has broken down and they need help getting into work? Would you have somebody who would call you about that? Able to send round a meal to somebody maybe when they're sick and confined to the house for a week? Or are we actually the kind of friend who is stretched so thin that we're actually not available for anybody? Maybe we try and maintain so many different friendships we can't actually be there for anyone because we've stretched ourselves too thin. There's a loyalty. There's a commitment in friendship. So is that the kind of friend that you are? Or would flaky describe better how you tend to do friendship? Would unreliable be a better description of the way you think about your friends at the moment? Friendship, first and foremost, foundationally, is about loyalty. But secondly, friendship is about love. It's about love. So that proverb again from 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Our friends are not just those sort of acquaintances we rub shoulders with and come into contact with every so often. Our friends are those we love. And that love certainly looks like that sort of loyalty commitment, as we've already seen, but it's also a love of understanding. It's hard to be friends, good friends, with someone who doesn't really get us, where we can't kind of connect well with them, someone who doesn't really have any empathy or understanding of us. Listen to this proverb, Proverbs 25:20. Like one who takes a garment away on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. What's the setting? What's going on in that particular proverb? Well, there's somebody with a heavy heart. There's somebody who's weighed down by a situation that's going on in their lives. And yet this friend, this person they know, comes along to them and they miss all that and they just sing songs to them. They sing sort of cheery, helpful songs, songs to kind of just cheer them up. But they're not attuned to the person, the other person at all. And so they respond in a completely unhelpful way. Like taking someone's coat from them when it's a freezing cold day and they clearly really need the coat. Or instead of gently, tenderly bandaging a wound, somebody gets vinegar on and pours it on. I mean, the doctors are wincing in the room, so it must be bad. Like, that's not the thing to do, is it? I think we all know that. Makes it hurt and sting even worse than before. To love another person is to be sensitive to what they need. And so for our friends, there is a sense in which we can't be fully happy when our friends are sad. Because their well-being really impacts us. We feel it really deeply. It's one of the reasons why we can only have a few of those very deepest friendships. Because it's very difficult to be this emotionally attuned to lots of different people. So even Jesus, at the point of his deepest emotional agony, in the Garden of Gethsemane, took just a few of his closest friends with him to be with him and to pray for him, even though they ended up letting him down in that particular moment. But it's in our most difficult times we want the friends who know and love us best. I saw my closest friend just a little while back. And as we tend to do now, because we're both over 50 and we're not the healthiest pair, we tend to talk about our physical woes. That's one of the kind of topics of conversation. And he said to me that if he's on his deathbed, he basically wants his wife, her, his two boys, and me to be there. And I will be. I will be. Love means that we can count on a friend to be there. The idea of presence, like turning up, showing up, but also tuning in, understanding what's needed at any particular point, being aware of what is helpful. There's another dimension of that loving friendship I want to talk about, and it's the way love expresses itself in friendship, which helps us distinguish it from other love. So friendship love, as we've already said, is a love that is different to that we might have for a spouse. It's different to that we might have for parents or for family. It's a mutual love of common interest and of connection. So C.S. Lewis, who wrote all the Narnia books, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and all the others, he wrote about lots of different other subjects as well. And he wrote really helpfully about friendship in his book called The Four Loves. And he said this, he said, "We picture lovers face to face, but friends side by side." Lovers are face to face because they are delighting in each other. That's where their delight comes. But friends are shoulder to shoulder with each other, delighting at something else. Let me quote Lewis a little bit further. It says, "Friendship arises out of mere companionship when two or more of the companions discover they have in common some insight or interest or even taste which others do not share, and which till that moment each believed to be their own unique treasure. The typical expression of opening friendship would be something like, 'What? Like you two? I thought I was the only one.' There is something in common. There is the same way of viewing the world. There is the same interest in a particular thing." I remember reading somewhere that when we are young, it could be as simple as something like, "What, you like Orange Fanta as well? Like, you're my best friend now." Right? And that's what it was based on. I mean, maybe that's still true for you, but I don't know, do you remember that kind of experience as a kid? Like, you both watched Scooby-Doo or you both wore green shorts and like, we're best friends now. And that was enough. There was connection in that. Friendship came out of that. But as we get older, we look for deeper connection. Shared experience or things we enjoy doing or ways of thinking. So lovers are face-to-face delighting in each other, and friends are side-to-side, taking in the same view, delighting in something together. It's again why friendship can't just be forced. There needs to be that point of connection. Some sense of, oh, you see that the way I see that, or for there to be a friendship. So friendship being about love includes a couple of things at least. We love each other, but we also love things in common. There's something we share. Doesn't mean we think the same thing about all our friends. I mean, that would be very dull, wouldn't it, if we just thought the same thing about all of our friends and the same thing about everything. But there will be those points of connection. So just have a think about the friends that come to mind right now. What is the friendship about? What is it you have in common? Maybe you're at the same life stage and that's the thing that connects you, or you both love the same hobby, or you share the same sense of humour, or you're into the same music or sport or food or something. Perhaps you sat there and actually you've been disappointed in the past that somebody you thought was going to be a really good friend, it just didn't work out in the end. And maybe because you just found progressively over time you didn't have those things in common. You just didn't click together. We're not called to be friends with everyone. Within a church family like this, we are called to be in good relationships with each other. We're called to support and care and love one another. But we're not going to be deep friends with everybody here. In fact, we can't be that kind of friend with everybody we know. We just don't have the capacity for that. I mean, some of you have probably got 1,000 Facebook friends or 1,000 followers on Insta, but only a few of those you'd actually call in a moment of real needs. So with the friendships we have, love should be central in them. So friendship's about loyalty and it's about love. And then thirdly, friendship is about learning. Learning. To be honest, I'm not that keen on the word learning. I didn't really want to call it learning, but it's the best I could do with an L. So that's where we've got to. But what we're talking about here in friendship is that friendship should be a benefit to us in the sense of us growing and maturing. And friendship having a positive impact on us. Friendship should make us more the people that God wants us to be. Not just to emotionally fulfill us, not only to make us happier, but to grow us and develop us, if you like. In Christian terms, friendship should help us become more like the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. My son, Harry, is working as a chef this year at a restaurant in town. And all the chefs at the restaurant, they have their own individual knives, including Harry, which means when he goes in on the tram and he takes his knife roll in the bottom of his bag, I'm always a little bit concerned, but hopefully he keeps it all in the knife roll and that's good. But keeping those knives sharp is really important. Now, I thought that was all about, well, if the knife is sharp, it just makes chopping up stuff a lot easier. But Harry told me this week that the sharper the knife is, the safer the knife is. The sharper it is, the safer it is. Now, that's kind of not very intuitive for me, but apparently a sharper knife doesn't slip when you're cutting with it. It's more controllable. So his kind of free proverb for you all this morning is keep your knife sharp. That's just a freebie to take away, But it really helps us, I think, with that particular proverb. For a person to be sharpened, that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. It's a positive outcome. It's a good result. It's a safer thing. They are somebody who's sharp there is therefore more ready for life. They're more effective in life. They're actually somebody safer to be around. And becoming like that happens, the proverb tells us, as iron sharpens iron, as two people bump up together, as they sharpen one another. And a clash of iron against iron, well, as you can recognise, that's not really a very comfortable experience, is it? There's friction involved in that. Friendship challenges our rough edges and it hopefully smooths some of them off. And that's God's intention in friendship, to use our friendships in that kind of way, to knock off the rough edges, to enable us to mature and grow and become more like Christ. Well, how does that happen in practice? Let me mention just a couple of ways. Firstly, it certainly happens with candid words. It happens with honest but really helpful words from our friends. So Proverbs 27:5-6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. It's important we have somebody in our lives who loves us enough, who we respect enough, that we will hear difficult words from them. It's one of the loving things that we can do for others, to have the courage to speak when people need challenge. I said my closest friend and I spoke about being at each other's deathbed. Well, that conversation also included him talking to me about a recent time I'd ended up in A&E, and his kind of direct but gentle rebuke to me was, you need to let me know when that sort of thing is happening so I can be there for you and so I can be praying for you. And I had a conversation not a long while back with him. He's a minister in a church, and we had a little chat about some ministry stuff that I felt he needed to be careful about. Our friendship is 30 plus years now, and whilst it's never an easy thing to have those kind of tricky conversations, we know it's always in love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Oscar Wilde said, "A true friend stabs you in the front." That's what he said. And so it's really important to develop a willingness to both speak those words and also to hear those words with grace. Some friendships are lost and they go altogether because somebody is courageous to say something really difficult, to say something tough, and then the other person just really doesn't want to listen and they walk away from that friendship. The more sure we are that somebody loves us, the more we should be willing to hear those difficult words. But it's not just candid words, it's also helpful words of advice. Friends not only say challenging things, they also bring helpful words. So Proverbs 27:9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. I wonder if you can just remember or picture a time when you were really confused or you were really kind of knotted up about something, and a conversation with a friend was just really helpful. Part of God's grace to you at that point. It gave you a new clarity or a new perspective on something. Perhaps stop you doing something really foolish that you're about to embark on. Notice the advice here in that text, it's heartfelt. It's not just functional advice. It's not just treating somebody like a little puzzle to solve and giving them a kind of my perfect solution. It's relational, it's heartfelt advice. If your friendships today only look like, well, banter or joking around or superficial conversation about the external things of life and never the internal things of life, then maybe your friendships are quite limited. And if you said to me on the door, oh, well, my friends would never talk on that level, well, maybe you need to widen your circle. Or if you say, well, I'm not sure I really want to talk on that level either, then you're settling for a pale reflection of what real friendship can be like. Notice the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. So to seek advice not just on what my latest fantasy football sub should be, but the deeper things of life. Our fears, our hopes, our dreams, those deeper things going on. Does anybody know those things about you? Has anybody got any clue about those things in your life? Do you ever ask those things of your friends? Be willing to risk going a little bit deeper so that we can grow together. That's part of the pleasantness of the friend, that heartfelt advice that they're able to give and to speak into. So friendship's about learning. And then fourthly and lastly, friendship is about loss. It's about loss. Let me take you back to the proverb we started with. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, because friendship involves love, it inevitably involves loss. There are times, aren't there, where friendship just goes wrong and we lose it and we can't recover it. And if the friendship didn't mean anything, if there wasn't really any love, well, then it wouldn't hurt to lose it. But so often it does. So often there's a loss, not just because it goes wrong, because it goes sour, but maybe a friend moves on, maybe they move away. We have to let friends go. And sometimes that's a location thing, people move away. I mean, if you've been part of this church family for any time, you've known that it happens all the time in this church family. People finish study and they move, and or they move for work, or they move to be closer to family. We're saying goodbye to people all the way through a summer term often. And the temptation with that is to just say, well, I don't want to risk this. I don't really want to invest too deeply in people. It costs too much to say goodbye. So we start to kind of self-protect and not be too vulnerable. So we can avoid getting hurt again when that happens. But a friend loves at all times, even when it's going to be painful, even when there's loss involved. Hugh Black wrote a book called Friendship, and he says that when friendship is lost or a friend has to move on, we ask, was it worthwhile to have linked our lives to others? Wouldn't it be better to go through the world without joining ourselves too closely? But he says the greatest purpose of living is to love. That's what God has called us to as his people, to love him and love others. That's the great command. And he says if that's the case, we must experience the pains of love as well as their joys. Love always hurts. I mean, some of you in the room know that really well. Love always involves pain. To have deep relationships is to suffer more. It's to risk being let down. If you set out to be a friend to someone, now you're signing up for heartbreak and tears. Because all friendships, like all marriages, end in the reality of death. And death doesn't bring an end to love. It doesn't bring an end to our feelings of friendship, but it does bring an abrupt end to the experience of friendship. I was best man for a really good friend of mine at uni who died in his 30s, probably about 20 years ago now. There are different moments over those last 20 years where I've really missed him at particular points. His grown-up son came to church one morning here unexpectedly. I knew he had friends in the congregation. Just a couple of years ago, I saw him kind of sat over there. And it was lovely to speak to him and lovely to see that he was going on with Christ. But it was like talking to his dad again. That kind of completely threw me that morning. You got similar stories to that. To love people is to risk our hearts. It's to sign up for sacrifice and for loss. Perhaps this year there's been no greater example of love in friendship than between Rob Burrow and Kevin Sinfield. They both played rugby league together. They became great friends back when they were 12 and 14. But after a wonderful rugby league career, Rob Burrows was diagnosed with motor neurone disease back in 2019. Now Kevin walked the journey of that disease with Rob. They raised $10 million together for research and support for sufferers. They wrote a book together called With You Every Step about the significance and the value of their friendship. And probably that picture on screen has become an iconic one of their friendship together. Let me give you just some of what Kevin wrote on 2nd of June of this year, on the day that Rob died, aged just 41. Kevin said, "Today was a day I hope would never come. The world has lost a great man and a wonderful friend to so many. You fought so bravely until the end and became a beacon of hope and inspiration, not only for the MND community, but for all those who saw and heard your story. You'll continue to inspire me every single day. I've lost a dear friend and I'll never forget the special times we shared, both on and off the pitch. I would always say pound for pound, you were the toughest player I ever played against. However, since your diagnosis, you were the toughest and the bravest man I've ever met. The last 4.5 years, you've showed the world what living and loving look like, and this was always done with the biggest smile on your face. I'll miss you, my little mate. All my love, Kev." The more precious the friendship, the deeper the loss. But what a beautiful picture of what friendship can look like. And I want to finish with that picture on the screen, really. They were clearly best of friends. And having someone who is best of friends with us is something we would all love, I imagine. And this morning, I want to let you know that you have exactly that kind of friend, even if you don't know it yet. We've seen the proverb about the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let me tell you about your friend. He's a friend that will carry you in your weakness. And he's a friend that will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And he's a friend who loves you sacrificially. Christians talk all the time about having a friend just like that. And that friend is the Lord Jesus. He's the friend who not only risked his life for us, but gave his life for us. He's the friend who's taken all of our burdens and all of our sins and everything broken in us and everything wrong with us, and he's taken it to the cross and he's died for us there on that first Good Friday. Jesus said just hours really before he faced the cross, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus didn't just say the words, Jesus did the words. That's what he did for us. Jesus loved you so much, even you, that he gave his life for you, to bring you back into friendship with God himself and to experience eternal friendship with the Lord Jesus. So you've got a friend in him, whether you know it yet or not, a friend in Jesus who is loyal, who loves, but above all experienced loss for us, even lost his life for us, so he could carry us safely over the line, so he could bring us home to heaven. So as I close, do you know you've got a friend like that? Is he your friend? Is Christ your closest and best friend? The one who loves you and knows you and has given himself for you. If you know that this morning, that's something to be humbly thankful for and allow it to shape all your other friendships. If you don't know it yet, please get to know him. Come and have a chat with me about how you might do that. We want to be really thankful for our best of friends, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray before we sing together. Father, what a privilege that you've created us to be those who enjoy a relationship with each other. Thank you for the gift of friendship. We thank you now for those people who've been coming to mind who are really precious to us, those friends that we enjoy. Father, we recognise that friendship's sometimes a painful thing, and it reminds us of friends that we've lost. It reminds us of friendships that we don't enjoy now. And we want to pray that you come and minister to us in that. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, that you are Saviour, you are Lord, but you've also said that we're your friends. And we thank you for drawing us into that relationship with you. Lord, for those of us who enjoy that already, pray you'll give us a real sense of the privilege that we get to be your friend. And for those who don't, Lord, we thank you that even while we were still enemies, even when we were far off, you called us, you loved us and gave yourself for us. And so draw us back into friendship with you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's kind of one Christian song that comes to mind when we talk about what a great friend we have in Jesus. So it feels really fitting to stand and sing that as we close this morning. Let's stand and sing to the praise of the Lord Jesus.